on Out With The Old Part 6 to look back on Young'uns Podcast Episodes 1 to 100. Gripping anecdotes about hitchhiking. Terrible poetry. A confusing interview with some amateur radio operators. But first, on the last episode of Out With The Old, we featured an interview with Phil Graham. And the reason I played that was because I was getting very confused in calling him Graham rather than Phil. To hilarious consequences, of course. That goes without saying on the Young'uns Podcast. And if you heard that interview on our last Out With The Old podcast with Phil Graham, then you'd have thought, David, you were pretty incompetent. And so you may imagine that it would be a bit rich of me to then poke holes after that at somebody else's incompetence. My own incompetence doesn't stop me from having a laugh at other people's incompetence, which is why when I heard Terry Ferdinand's Ferdinand on Folk show, which went out on Bishop FM, still does go out on Bishop FM actually, on a Monday night, when I heard this particular programme and all the various mistakes and technical problems and inadequacies, I thought, oh, this is hilarious, this is great, this is fodder for the Young'uns Podcast. We're now going to play what happened when I dissected the show that I heard, the Ferdinand on Folk show with Terry Ferdinand. So we've already played one clip on the show, and that was right at the start of the show. We played the introduction to Terry Ferdinand's show.
Interested in making programmes, but prefer being on the other side of the mic? Bishop FM. For programme editors and producers, call Bishop FM on 01388 451 496 or email studio at bishopfm.
Hi there, it's Monday night, it's Terry Ferdinand here, and of course it's Monday night, it must be folk night, 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock. Got a great show planned for you, but first of all, I'd like to say a big thank you to Paul for the show, excellent.
Sorry.
Some good music.
Had a couple of mess-ups, but never mind.
Well, you're only human, Paul.
Now, on the Young'uns Podcast, before, we've talked about EVP, electronic voice phenomena, which is capturing voices on recordings, unexplained voices. Some people believe that these are voices from beyond the grave. I think, listeners, we have another EVP example captured on the Terry Ferdinand, Ferdinand on Folk show. Listen carefully to this EVP message, infiltrating it onto the recording.
Gary Wingfield, I was going to play a couple of songs. What you got in mind, Gary?
I've been thinking about playing some of my own songs. I've been writing songs for quite a while now.
Right.
So I was wanting to play...
We have a chat, we have a laugh.
Did you hear that? It sounded like a voice, didn't it, saying, we have a chat, we have a laugh.
Gary.
In a sort of northeast style.
So we have a chat, we have a laugh.
Could it be a voice from beyond the grave? Or could it be an incompetent radio producer who's shouting his mouth off in the other studio and Terry's forgot to close the fader down on that studio? Yeah, I think the answer's obvious. Definitely a voice from beyond the grave.
Once again, thanks
very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Right, not sure what's happened there, but I think we've got finally got rid of the phone call. But I was pressing the wrong buttons there, and I wasn't sure where people were going or what. I knew how to take the call, but I didn't know how to finish it. So, thanks a lot, Hannah, for that. We've got Gary Wingfield. Yeah, a bunch of amateurs, Gary says.
Not only does our good friend Terry Ferdinand struggle with using the phone, but he also doesn't appear to be able to operate the CD player as well.
It's called Fish, Gut and Lassie by Wendy Arrowsmith. But maybe not. Now what's gone wrong? We're having some more technical troubles here with the CD player. So I don't know what's going on, but we'll try it again, shall we? This is Wendy playing Fish Cutting Lassie.
So, there we are. So, Terry had a problem with the phone call earlier, ending the phone call, but he got it right in the end, didn't he? He managed to end the phone call absolutely fine. Well, it appears not, as you'll find out when we play this next clip. Now, Gary starts off his song, and he's about halfway through the song when this happens. So here we are, we've got Gary just strumming away there. Oh, God, what the hell's that? That's a very odd sound. Ow! So it's getting louder and louder. This excruciating alarm, what the hell's all this about? I'm thinking, Now, fortunately, listeners, you can't appreciate how loud this really is because we have put some compression in place, which we do every single week, and that means that when you get a loud sound such as this alarm, then the compressor will kick in and it'll save your ears. Bishop FM doesn't appear to have that. So we ended up with my ears being blown off. I was listening to this in headphones. I literally nearly had... I mean, I felt as if I was having a heart attack. I don't think I've jumped so much for absolutely ages. And I think, right, OK, what the heck's this sound? Has either Gary has turned into an alarm or his guitar's turned into an alarm. It's some weird guitar technique that I haven't discovered. Or... there's some kind of alarm going on in the studio, but Gary doesn't seem affected by it. He's just strumming away quite nicely there. Meanwhile, you can't even hear Gary now. He's grappling with every single fader. He's actually now faded out Gary. You've just got this alarm sound. Anyway, eventually he works it out and the singing resumes as normal. Apart from it's just very quiet in the mix and you can hardly hear it at all, but never mind. And then the great thing is, Gary finishes his song and this is the reaction. Listen to that. Are they just, they just kind of calmly applaud. That's, I'm just thinking, have they not heard this?
Must apologise during that, I hadn't disconnected the phone line.
Ah, right.
Which shows my technical inabilities, and I do apologise to all the listeners out there if it's spoiling your enjoyment of that song. It was my fault, I hadn't disconnected the phone line, I pressed the wrong buttons.
He's just like, oh yeah, sorry, Gary, but during that song we left the phone disconnected. And Gary's just like, oh right, okay. He hardly explained the magnitude of the situation. Oh yeah, sorry Gary, I left the phone disconnected. All right, okay. What you should have said, Terry, was, I do apologise, but, yeah, for about 80% of that song, the listeners didn't actually hear it because there was this excruciating alarm which nearly deafened all the listeners. So, yeah, you might as well have not bothered playing the last song because nobody heard it. And I love the way he apologises and says, yeah, I'm sorry if that spoilt the enjoyment of the song. As if someone's going to go, no, I didn't, actually. I really enjoyed that. You know, I was just strumming, listening to the guitar, then I thought, what this really needs is an alarm. Now, if you think I went a little bit too far there, don't worry, my friends, because Terry Ferdinand actually heard that show. Terry Ferdinand and his fellow presenter, Phil Graham, they actually heard this podcast. They listened to it. Fortunately for me, they took it in the spirit that it definitely wasn't meant, as you're about to hear now. So last week, we ripped apart the show. Terry Ferdinand's reacted.
On the Saturday the 16th, Keeper's Fold, myself, the Young Uns, loads and loads of other people.
Okay, you heard it here first, and one of the names I did recognise there, she mentioned, was the Young Uns.
Aye.
I think I've been the recipient of one of their podcasts from last week.
Mr. David Eagle, are you listening in tonight?
I can say I feel fairly chastised after listening to that. I'm putting it down to inexperience. But you have made me pull my socks up. I hope I'm doing better tonight, and I hope you say so as well.
So there you go. In fact, so magnanimous was Terry that we ended up presenting a podcast together, as you're about to hear now.
Hi there, it's Terry Ferdinand here.
And I am David Eagle, and welcome to the new exciting sound to the Young'uns podcast. And before we go any further, Terry, I really must say what a pleasure it is to have you here with us today.
It's my pleasure entirely.
I really do think it's going to be an exciting new chapter to the Young'uns podcast, Terry.
I think you're in for a real treat.
Oh, I'm sure we are, Terry, without a doubt.
It's going to be a hit.
Terry Ferdinand and David Eagle. And that's right, Terry, don't you worry, I put your name above mine, as we agreed in the contract. Because, I mean, obviously, I could not have my name above yours. Your name is in lights, Terry. You're the star of the show. I am meanly subservient to everything that you want me to do.
Excellent.
So, what's coming up on the new exciting sound to the Young'uns podcast this week, Terry?
Some good music?
Of course, Terry, as ever, and lots of new exciting features.
Excellent.
Now, I know a lot of our listeners are going to be overwhelmed by the magnitude of all of this, so we're going to give you a little time to come to terms with the new sound to the Young'uns podcast with Terry Ferdinand and David Eagle. So while we do that, let's play a song and then we'll tell you what's coming up on this week's show. So then, Terry, who's our first song by?
This is by a guy called Gary Koontz.
That's right, Terry, an excellent artist. This song is called Long Lonesome Road. You are listening to the new sound to the Young'uns podcast with myself, David Eagle, and my good friend, and of course, radio presenting mentor and idol, Terry Ferdinand.
Hi there, it's Terry Ferdinand here.
Oh, it's so exciting, Terry.
Look up and down that long, lonesome road. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head and cry.
Well, Well, that's Gary Kunz and...
The Long Lonesome Road.
He's got a great voice.
He certainly has got a great voice, Terry.
Excellent.
It's the new Sound to the Young'uns podcast with Terry Ferdinand and David Eagle. I don't think we're doing too bad. Over 5 minutes into the show now, Terry, and I don't think we're doing too bad, mate. I think we're doing all right. Coasting through this.
Good.
So then let's tell the listeners what's coming up this week, Terry.
Well, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left.
What? No, we haven't. We've just started, Terry.
Well, I'm afraid we're over time and that's the end of it for another week. I just don't know where the time goes. It flies over.
No, no, we haven't, Terry. We've got another 50-odd minutes to go. I don't know what's got into him.
This is by a guy called Gary Kunz.
No, we've done that, Terry.
Well, that's Gary Kunz and...
Yeah, we've done that, Terry.
Thanks very much indeed. Good night.
Terry, we haven't finished yet.
Hi there, it's Terry Ferdinand.
Yeah, we know that, Terry. Are you going to tell the listeners what's on the show today, Terry?
When were you in Durham? Just changing the subject slightly.
Well, where's that come from, Terry? I'm not following your line of thinking. You've done more than change the subject slightly. Should we tell the listeners what's on this week's show, Terry?
Hi there, it's Terry Ferdinand.
Terry.
Hi there, it's Terry Ferdinand.
I don't know what the heck's gone into you. Oh, he's gone mad. He's gone absolutely ballistic.
Terry Ferdinand.
Right, there's only one thing for it. I'm sorry for what I'm about to do, Terry. But I've got no alternative.
Hi there, it's Terry Ferdinand.
More from Terry Ferdinand and Phil Graham still to come on the Young'uns podcast, because I sort of had a little bit of a joke there and pretended that I'd made it up with Terry and everything was absolutely fine. But actually, Terry was really surprisingly magnanimous, to the point that we actually became quite good friends. He and Phil Graham actually did genuinely do a podcast with me. And we're going to hear a couple of clips from that very shortly. But first, after the disaster that was, or triumph, depending on how you look at it, I suppose, of Shortle's Chortle. So we were looking for a replacement, and someone recommended a poet who he'd heard at an open mic night. So we thought, okay, and this man was called Brian Loughborough. So we thought, let's do Loughborough's Laughs. Let's get him on the show. Can he do comedy? Apparently he could. Let's do a comedy poem. I'd give him a theme, and each week he'd do a comedy poem about it. And I said, look, I'll give you the material a week in advance so you can prepare it. No, I don't do that. I don't do that, David, he says. I am a spontaneous poet. I thought, my goodness, we're in for a treat here. But we weren't massively in for a treat, as you're about to find out, because we basically found out that he had a few sort of tricks up his sleeve for his poetry. So, for instance, he would say something like, as a good man I've got to say, and then he would say something that rhymed with say, like day or way. He'd already got that crutch there. He'd already knew that whatever I was going to ask, he would get as a good man I've got to say there, or as a poet I've got to say. Another thing was he would say something and then he would say... So he would say something, and then he would rhyme that by saying, but then again, what can you do? So you knew that he was going to say true, or you, or through, or something like that. And then he was going to say, but then again, what can you do? Also, he enjoyed saying things like literally, and then rhyming that with allegedly. Literally, allegedly. So he had these kind of crutches that he did. Now, you may think, that's, well, fair enough, but he's a spontaneous poet. Well, the poem would generally consist of those stock phrases, with a little bit of random nonsense sandwiched between them. We're going to play a couple of Brian Loughborough poems. This first one relates to a news story that I imparted to Brian. I said I'd give it to him a week in advance. No, David, I'm a spontaneous poet. Just give it to me at the time and I will do a poem about it. So here is a little excerpt from Loughborough's Laughs with our poet from Hartlepool, our comedy poet, supposedly Brian Loughborough. Now, here's a little bit of a quirkier story for you. A 28-year-old Florida man was arrested on Sunday and charged with cruelty to animals. He allegedly yelled an obscenity at a police dog in a patrol vehicle.
Oh, no.
So, Moses...
honestly, he yelled an obscenity at a police dog.
Apparently so. Moses Rogers was also charged with disorderly conduct after police say he shouted the obscenity into the window of the patrol car where the dog was sitting, causing the dog to become overloaded and tormenting the dog. Now, you know, I was thinking, is this gone a little bit too far, Brian? When presumably, I think he was a dog trainer. He's told the dog to sit. He said, sit, dog, sit. He's got a lisp, the poor man. They've taken it to mean something else. Sit, dog, sit. He's not. He's a good dog, said the policeman, arrested straight away.
Did he really have a lisp?
No, he didn't. That was my little joke there.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
don't you worry.
You're going to make it really complicated there if he did.
It would have, wouldn't it? That would have been an interesting scenario in court.
Well,
you what?
Do you want to
I do. Go on then.
The dogs only understand pictures, it's true. They don't understand words, they haven't a clue. It's the pitch of the voice, literally, that makes a dog do as you tell it, you see. If you put a deep voice on, what can I say? The dog will do what you tell it straight away. It'll only do it, literally, if it thinks you're the master, you see. But if you do a wimpy voice, what can I say? The dog will look at you and walk away. The dog won't take no notice of you. Not if you've got a high-pitched voice, but what can you do? But swearing in front of a police officer... And you know that is true. If he did swear, I'm sorry, that's profanity in the street, you should not do. But as a good man, I've got to say, even in poetry, I say shizer sometimes, by the way.
Brian Loughborough there. By the way, he does that shizer line quite a bit as well. But it's kind of all in keeping with the Young'uns podcast, really. It wouldn't be right if we had someone who's genuinely funny on the podcast. That's my job. I'm the genuinely funny man. I think you'll all agree with that. It's now time to hear from Brian Loughborough again, and he's going to do a poem about hitchhiking. And the reason for this is because, obviously, Sean went hitchhiking around Ireland and Greece, and so we decided to find out some anecdotes about hitchhiking. Sean told us an anecdote about when he was hitching, and this led to other people on the podcast telling anecdotes about when they went hitching as well, including Terry Ferdinand and Phil Graham. Well, before that, we're going to hear an anecdote from Sean Cooney, but first, it's time for Brian Loughborough's poem about hitchhiking.
Hitchhiking was hard, allegedly. I saw some good people, some bad people, but that was me. But when I was coming back from Germany, some Frenchmen tried to mug the man that was me. I looked so big, I looked so strong. They didn't realise I hadn't slept for about 5 days long. I was in such a bad mood, what could I do? I told him in English where I was going to put that bit of wood. It stopped him in his tracks. He was French, but he spoke good English too. But as a good man, I've got to say, I gave him some vitamin tablets that saved me that way. I passed a few on him, it was true. But I still don't like the French after that, and neither would you.
I think it's a little bit wrong to basically accuse the entire French population for this, for Brian's one experience of one particular Frenchman. But that is Brian Loughborough for you. And you'll be pleased to hear that we don't have any more Brian Loughborough on the Out With The Old podcast. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Cooney now tells us a story about hitchhiking in Ireland and Greece.
There was a weird fellow once in Greece who... I was going one way, but he picked me up and we were going driving the other way. It ended with his hand on my thigh anyway, that was what...
It ended with his hand on... Oh, dear. Fair enough. And how did you...
Funny, really.
How did you end that... The whole thing, then? What?
I opened the door.
You opened the door and left? Excellent.
I once met an Irish-Indian Mancunian gangster...
Okay.
He picked us up outside Tipperary. He was slewed when he picked us up. We stopped in the pubs and at a pub in every village on the way. And in each one he goes in, he's buying drinks and talking out of his arse.
Wow!
And we
impressive.
To, he was actually he had a clothes shop or a chain of different clothes shops. And he was dead cocky and full of life and pizzazz. He was great. And he was, I'm not scared to know him, mate. Not scared to know him. So we got to Limerick. And Limerick's got a pretty tough reputation in Ireland. And there's a couple of really hard estates with a lot of violence and a lot of drugs. And I'd just been reading about one of these estates in the paper the day before. And we drive right up to this estate. And I'm not scared to know him. We've got this pub here. On this estate, we went into this the roughest looking pub on this estate, and he was determined to show his face. It's when he said, "Oh, hey, before you go in here, Sean, you got to know, to get known, you got to pretend that you know someone. You got to pretend that you know someone." And he'd heard this name of this big gang leader or something. And we got out the car, and the first thing he said to this young lad who was wanting it, Danny Fitch, yeah, I've heard of him, yeah, well, I'm his mate, Danny Fitch, he's my mate, Danny Fitch, yeah, great, cool. And we went to this pub, the guy had just such fantastic charisma, and he was just right in the middle of this really tough pub, just kind of spouting off, and just revelling in being there as a cocky English Indian in the middle of this really hard estate in Limerick. It was fantastic.
Sounds like we need to get him to do a feature.
I kept my eyes on the door. And
another hitchhiking anecdote to come now, courtesy of Terry Ferdinand. You see how amicable the man is. We did all of that slandering his show on the podcast, lambasting it, but yet he's still was so magnanimous that we became great friends, and then he came to our folk club that we ran, the Piles Folk Club in Hartlepool on the headland. He came to that quite a few times, him and Phil Graham. Here is his story about hitchhiking.
I'll tell you this anecdote, and it's a true story. It happened to me, and it's not fabricated and hasn't been added to. I was hitchhiking, and I can't remember the year. It was in 72, I think, when the...
Straight away. Fabrication, I think, great, Phil. What do you think? Straight away. I can't remember the area. Something fishy.
And it was when the Olympic Games were on. So, yeah, check your MySpace, Google it, whatever. It was when the Olympic Games were on in Berlin. And I was going down there on my motorbike with a friend who was a solicitor on the back. And we got as far as Cologne. The motorbike broke down. So we abandoned the motorbike. We jumped off the motorway. It was on a crossroad. Actually, it was an intersection of the motorway, the autobahn. We jumped off there. We got onto this little side road, started hitchhiking. And about 10 minutes into hitchhiking, this police car pulled up. And it was the motorway police. They'd been watching us on their CCTV and seen us abandon the motorbike. Just literally threw it in the bushes and left it. It had gone. The motor had gone. Everything was too expensive. Yeah. So anyhow, we nearly needed a solicitor because these German police got out and they were carrying submachine guns. And they cocked them as they got out and came approached us. And they were obviously saying, we're going to arrest you for doing this. And they didn't speak English. We didn't speak German. And at that point, a local police car came in the opposite direction and pulled up. So we're on a bend in this little country road, we had... us two standing there, this police sports car with a door open, which was a magnificent little low thing. I think it was called the Marcus, I'm not sure. But the local police come up, and there's obviously rivalry between them, so they start taking the mickey out of the motorway police, saying, if you've got nothing else better to do than pick on your innocent motorists. At that point, this other car came round. There was a British registration. They stopped it. It was a soldier, and he started translating. And he basically said, they're not happy about you abandoning the motorbike on the motorway. You'll get it shifted, or they're going to arrest you. You'll spend the night inside. And I said, okay, well, what do we do to get it shifted? This being a Sunday, about 4 o'clock tea time, you know. I mean, you know, impossible anywhere to get tour trucks or whatever. But we were saved from having to explain that, because a Belgian touring car pulling a caravan came round and ploughed straight into the sports car and ripped the door off, smashed the windscreen, ripped the wing. And this driver got out, and he was furious. The two policemen who owned this police car got absolutely furious, and him, this Belgian guy, was arguing like hell with this, with the two police, and they were arguing back. The two local police were killing themselves laughing. I thought it was really funny. So they then looked round at the soldier, and they said in German, "Get them out of here quick before they come round here." So we jumped in this police car. And we jumped in the soldier's car, and he took us back to his place, gave us something to eat, put us on the train over to Holland. Now, the story didn't end there, because 6 months later, I was in the pub, and the phone rang, it was my dad, and he said, "Hey, the police have been here looking for you." And I said, "For me? For what for?" You know, because it was all just a memory of the snow. And he said, "Well, seemingly, Scotland Yard's been on to the local police about you." I said, "Scotland Yard?" He said, "Yeah, they've been contacted by Interpol." I said, "You're joking." And, and they had been contacted by the high level of local German police. It was winter by this time. The shrubbery had cleared away. The motorbike's frame had been discovered. And so they'd got the registration plate, ran a check, found my address, went through local police, national German police, Interpol, Scotland Yard, local police to say, "Is he still alive?" or whatever, you know. I said, "Oh, yeah." So I was terrified to go back to Germany for years. Because I got arrested across the border.
Now we move to another clip taken from that very podcast.
Okay, the second one is dedicated to a very good friend of mine who I haven't seen for years, who was madly in love with a girl.
How can you be a very good friend if you've not seen them for years?
He moved and I moved.
Ah, right, yeah. Okay. It's a very moving song.
He was very much in love with a girl.
It's a moving song.
And he never told...
It's a moving song. Thank you very much.
It's live.
We need a drum roll.
I'm trying to be serious. I'm stupid.
In this environment, and it looks like our set at the studio has been linked to the Taliban set because of the curtain round.
Have you seen the Taliban studio? I wonder what equipment they have.
No.
It's not like the best endorsement. It's like, I'm looking for some equipment for my studio. I wonder what the Taliban have. Oh, they've got show microphones, have they? Right, okay, I'll have a few with them. If it's good enough for Bin Laden, it's good enough for me. Anyway.
I'm sure George Bush would like to know where that studio is.
Hey, the thing is, that's what I was thinking. When you said something about the Taliban studio, I thought you were going to give the game away there. No, Derek.
Like you, we've got curtains draped around, and
right.
We put a webcam going, and someone said, "God, looks like the set of a Taliban video." You know.
Okay, well, if George Bush is listening, this is the problem, because I think a lot of the time they actually target reference names. So now the Youngest Podcast is going to be targeted because we said George Bush and Taliban and Bin Laden.
Sentence.
Yeah, exactly. So the MI5 or whatever it'll be will be listening to this, and they'll be listening, they'll be going, "Oh my God, man, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with this podcast, but we're not going to be able to get on with the rest of our work now because Nesbitt's Nuts is coming up and it's a peanut this week." week. So I don't know what's going to be going on with that. But anyway, Phil, you were saying before you were rudely interrupted by Terry Ferdinand.
The second song.
Yes.
Oh, you're doing it.
Yeah, we haven't got time for it now, Phil. I'm afraid.
Talking so you couldn't be it.
Let's bring on the nuts.
We've heard that before, Phil. I've not gotten in your way of your marriage before, I think. Anyway, what are you going to play for us? It's called, I forgot the name now.
The moving song.
That's what we know. What's it called?
It's called Any Day Now.
Anyway Now will be played. Exactly.
And it's about a guy who was madly in love with a girl, but he never told her. She never knew. She ended up moving to the States, and he regretted it ever since.
I'm working for MI5 and listening into the podcast now, and now knows. So it all comes back full circle. Now, on the last run of Young'uns Podcasts, we played a clip taken from our gig at Beverley, and we mentioned at this gig the last time we were in Beverley. And the last time we were in Beverley, it was for the Beverley Shanty Festival, the Beverley Beckside Shanty Festival. And it was quite an unusual festival, this one, because there were all sorts of random stalls, including an amateur radio stall with people demonstrating amateur radio equipment. But what was fascinating about this stall was we spoke to a couple of people and we asked them to, it would be quite nice on the podcast, maybe we could use the radio devices, the walkie-talkies, whatever, to talk to people, who knows who we might speak to. Someone told us we could speak to the astronauts. Someone else, you could speak to anyone from all around the world. And we thought this would be great for the podcast. They decided instead to demonstrate the capabilities of amateur radio equipment by letting me talk to a man who essentially we could see. He was about 10 metres away, 10 or 20 metres away. We could see him there. So I was asking this man who was 10 or 20 metres away from me questions about amateur radio. And I'm like, why can't we communicate with any of the astronauts or people like that? She said, oh, no. We'll just have a little chat with him. But actually, the interview was quite odd. One particular reason was because this particular woman, she was quite strange. She was obsessed with what she called her call sign, Mike Zero Echo Charlie India. And she said, oh, that's how we identify each other. That's how I identify ourselves. And a part of me was like, wouldn't it be easy just to say your name? It's a lot shorter. But she insisted, no, I don't say my name, I say my call sign. I managed to have a conversation with this particular man, David, absolutely no problem whatsoever. But when she was speaking to him, she couldn't get past just trying to remember a call sign. And then she remembered her call sign. By the time she said that, then she had to say his call sign. Mike Zero Echo Charlie India. This is Mike Zero Echo Charlie India speaking. Can you hear me? Bravo, Juliet, Tango, Oscar, Sierra. This is Mike. And I'm like, yeah. Firstly, he knows who you are for the simple reason that he can see your lips moving because you're only about 10 metres away from him. And secondly, because he's just been speaking to you. If you just said your name, it would be a lot simpler. Very strange. So we're now going to hear an interview with these eccentric amateur radio operators taken from 2008's Beverley Beckside Shanty Festival. All right, slightly unusual for a maritime festival, but we're going to ham it up now because we have, as well as Morris dancers and the usual maritime regalia, we also have a very interesting stall, which is three people, I don't know if they're selling or if they're just messing around with ham radio equipment, communications sort of CB kind of equipment. So we're going to see if we can listen in, find out what they're doing, and have a little bit of a tete-a-tete with us. We might even be able to talk to some international people, some national people on the critical bands, the UHF, HF, IF, BFG frequencies.
My amateur radio operator.
Oh, brilliant.
And I have two call signs. I'm fortunate.
All right.
I have my American call sign, which is Kilo Delta 5.
Yeah.
Bravo Oscar Echo. And ooh, my UK call sign.
Yeah.
Which is Mike Zero Echo Charlie India.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes.
It's nice to see you keeping it short and sweet. Easy to remember, that's like your nickname, is it? Mike Zero Echo Charlie India.
No.
Charlie Echo India. I'm getting confused already. How am I ever going to find you on the band?
Echo Charlie. Charlie India.
Charlie, right.
Yeah.
Charlie, right.
You know what they all call me? The electrical charged Indian. That's
right.
The last three.
Oh, he was saying that you can speak to astronauts. He was speaking to somebody who was saying you
can
speak to astronauts.
Talk to the astronauts when they're up. And
they're
we
up.
Can communicate with them when they're making their rounds, their orbits.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's really fascinating.
So what kind of thing, when they're doing the rounds, their orbits, what kind of thing do you talk to them about?
just how you're doing, what's the atmosphere,
what's
condition?
The weather like up there? Exactly. Is the sun going to come out? That kind of thing.
Not really. We just kind of get a general weather report, and it's a quick on and off with them. Because so many other
people are trying to talk to the astronauts.
They're trying to talk to them.
I didn't realize being an astronaut was so... I thought it would be quite a lonely experience, but actually you're telling me that everybody is wanting to speak to the astronauts.
A whole dialogue goes on, and people get to communicate. We talk to all amateurs all over the world. Yep. We have different ways of communicating.
What would you do if all of a sudden...
Shortwave TV?
What would you do if all of a sudden you suddenly heard someone speaking and you suddenly realised that they were actually not amateurs but professionals at this? Would there be a bit of rivalry if someone was getting paid to have a conversation?
No rivalry.
Excellent.
No. Mike Zero, Delta Juliet. This is Mike Zero, Echo Charlie India. Do you copy?
Well, if he doesn't copy, it's going to be a long conversation if they keep repeating each other. And they say imitation is the best form of flattery, but I think that's taking it to an extreme, really, isn't it?
Third-party traffic, please. Here is...
he formally introduced.
And he will be talking to you next. Right. This is Mike Zero, ECI.
ECI?
Zero Echo Charlie India. ECI for short.
Just your name. Your name will do.
Third party traffic.
His name's David.
Okay.
Just press the button.
All right, I have to press the button. Right, hello. Can you hear me? Oh, sorry. Do you copy over?
I'm receiving you. Okay.
What's going on? What kind of wavelength do you normally? Are we all the same wavelength? That is the first question I need to ask you.
Bands, which are things like 3-7 megahertz, right up the way to microwaves. Passing the mic to you.
Thank you very much. So you're talking about microwaves. I mean, do you defrost?
No.
Not exactly.
All right.
Because the microwaves used in ovens for cooking stuff. We obviously use them in a somewhat different manner for. Passing of information over a distance. That's a gentle art of friendly communications.
That makes perfect sense. I'm being informed as you're speaking about the various protocols, dictates that need to be undertaken here. I understand that under no circumstance am I allowed to interrupt you. What would happen under regulations if I did interrupt you? Would I be looked at or steely? Would I be abused via Morse code? What would happen to me? Over.
Basically, we won't hear each other. This kind of stuff can only work if only one person talks at the same time, so...
Right, okay. I mean, I know you're probably more experienced than I am, but you're doing something a little... You're not saying over when you're finished. I think, you know, just you need to rectify that, because, you know, it makes it sound a little bit more authentic when you're talking. Over.
Amateurs have never actually used the word over. That's just one of those things that could be considered an urban myth, to use a modern term.
Thank you very much, my friend. I'll hand you back now to Mike Zero Echo Charlie India. Over. Over and out. There we are. I thought that went very well.
Stop Zero. Delta Julia. This is Mike Zero Echo Charlie India.
And it's over and out for this edition of Out With The Old. We'll be back with part 7. Is that the final part? I think it might be. Yes, the final Out With The Old, my friends. And then we shall purge these podcasts from the Young'uns and my own website. Not these podcasts, obviously, episodes 1 to 100. So join me as we conclude our Out With The Old podcast series. Until then, my friends, thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.